All right, listen, hey, one of the aspects of my mission here at the Contractor Fight is to equip you. Okay, we want to challenge and inspire you, but I also want to equip you to fight the fight. And so one resource to help you do that is our program called Accelerate. And right now, we're about to open it up again for Accelerate 2.0. And this is going to be an amazing ongoing program to help you get the education that you need to win the fight. Because what I see as I talk to contractors all over the country over and over is there's just some things that we're all ignorant to. Maybe the numbers or how to market or how to be a better leader. Doesn't mean we're stupid. Doesn't mean we don't have the ability. Just means we haven't put the time in. And that's what Accelerate is all about. It's going to help you know your numbers, things like that, getting more leads, building your team, selling at higher rates, and everything in between. Anything that has to do with you being successful as a contracting business owner. We're going to have a monthly topic, a weekly call that you can jump on, private Facebook group to ask questions and stuff like that, worksheets, spreadsheets, other materials to help you win. So, hey, when you're ready to jump into something like that, head to tomreber.com/accelerate and you can get more info there, and we'd love to have you and help you fight the contractor fight. I am so excited. Our Contractor Sales Academy is our flagship program that's designed to help you fast track yourself and your business and your team to greatness. It's about total transformation of how you approach your business and you know all that other stuff. And I want to encourage you to get to our event in February 2018 in York, Pennsylvania called Revolution. All right, listen, we are in a fight and there's no reason for you to go it alone. So you need to get your tail involved and put in the work and get around people that are going to call you higher. All right, listen, you know, this event is the must attend contractor event of the year. We're lining up some killer speakers to help you. We're lining up some killer programming that's no bullshit, actionable, in the trenches type stuff, instead of all the fluff that you get at a lot of other conferences. So listen, this is a sales and marketing conference to help you with what's working in today's market. Okay, so if you sell residential construction services of any kind, you need to be there. Okay, you need to be there because you know, you're out there right now, you're hearing people tell you, oh, I could buy that for half the price with another guy, or just come out here and give me a bid, or, you know, my neighbor's a home inspector, and he said, blah, 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 blah. Listen, we're in a fight, and now it's time for you to go, okay, what am I going to do about this? All right, well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get to Revolution, and you're going to rock your world, because that's the environment that we're going to create. So we want you there, and I'm excited that we are opening it up right now for registration. There's an early bird registration discount, all that good stuff. So go to contractorrevolution.com, contractorrevolution.com, and sign your ass up. And we'll see you in York, Pennsylvania, February 2018. See you later. Hey, welcome to the Contractor Fight. My name is Tom Reber, and I am excited to talk with you tonight about why you should stop giving raises to your employees every year. All right. So listen, I remember one year we were doing our budget for the following year. And like we did every year, we automatically populated these dollar an hour raises, you know, for everyone in the field, really everyone in the company at like a certain time of year when we knew the cash flow was coming and all that other stuff. You know, we planned for it every year. And some would say, hey, good move. And I think on some level, it is a good move. But then one year I asked my business partner, I'm like, why do we do this every year? Like, it just kind of hit me. Like, why do we automatically give people a raise? And that started a whole thought process in me over the next couple years and things like that. And now I've come out to the point where, and that, I guess that was really the point in time that I committed to not automatically giving raises to employees every year. All right, so before you say, Tom, you're a total ass, I want you guys to hear me out because I have a few reasons here why I think giving your employees an automatic raise every year is a bad idea, okay? And so let me just go through these, all right? First of all, I think it's a bad idea because, especially if you don't have a criteria for why people should get a raise. You know, I was recently on a call with one of my coaching clients, and he was like, yeah, I got to have this employee meeting, you know, with this one guy, and he's been asking me to have his review because he thinks he's going to get a raise, and he just wasn't sure how to handle it. So after we talked it through, what I realized and what I helped him to see was that the fact that the guy wants more money is not an issue. The issue is that you didn't have a process and a system in place with clear job descriptions, a mastery ladder, and ranges of money at each level in the business to kind of map things out for the guy. And so if you're approaching your business without that sort of a roadmap to how you make more money, then you're just going to be at the mercy of every employee that comes to you and says, hey, I've been working really hard, I should get more money, which I think is a crock, because we all work hard. That doesn't mean we all get more money. So you get more money not for working hard, you get more money for adding more value and doing exceptional at what you do. All right. So here, I'm getting into a couple more reasons here that I have. So one of the things that comes up from time to time is people go, well, I should give cost of living raises. You know, the cost of living goes up 2% a year or some crap like that. And so I should give a raise to help people keep pace with the cost of living. Okay, well, I think cost of living raises are BS. And here's why. So this call that I had with this client of mine that prompted this whole podcast here tonight, the employee that we were talking about was a $14 an hour entry level laborer for his landscape industry company. Okay. And I said, okay, so if you gave a 2% cost of living raise to this guy this year, you would give him a whopping 28 or 29 cents an hour raise. Okay. Which equates to about, I don't know, $500 a year, $550 a year. And I'm telling you guys, my first reaction is that's a freaking insult. You're going to give me a 28 cent raise? Bite me. I'm out of here. So which each one of these things that I'm going to say why I'm going to tell you shouldn't give raises automatically, I'm going to give you what I would do instead. Okay. So I'm not just going to bitch about things. I'm going to give you some solutions here. So instead of the cost of living raise, that to me is an insult, 28 freaking cents or whatever, instead, teach your employees to think bigger. Provide opportunities for them. Provide opportunities for performance bonuses that won't put pennies in their pockets, but will put thousands of dollars a year in their pockets. Because listen, I've got other clients that I work with who, when they give their foreman who makes, you know, $30 an hour a raise, or not a raise, a bonus, the bonus check is freaking $5,000. Okay. And it's happening a couple times a year or a few times a year. So guys, the money is out there and your people need to be exposed to a higher level of thinking, not just the typical, you know, we're going to settle for a cost of living raise. Cost of living raise isn't going to make a dent in that guy's life at all. All right. Next reason, it fosters mediocrity. See, it sucks when everyone thinks that they're entitled to something. And I think it sucks. That's how I roll. And here's what you're entitled to if you work for me. You're entitled to what we agreed upon when I hired you and you agreed to be part of the team and you signed the employment handbook and all that other stuff. And listen, those of you that have been around this show for a while, you know, over and over and over, I also say that you should pay your people higher than the industry average. So the amount that I agree upon to pay you, you know, should be enough money that if you compare what you're making to other people who do what you do in your industry, you should be pleasantly surprised because you're making more in your base pay than them. The only caveat to that is I need you to add more value. So big boy money, big boy work. So you're entitled to what we agreed upon, not a yearly raise. Okay. So instead of the annual raise, okay, create a mastery ladder. I've mentioned this before, okay, because the mastery ladder spells out for them what the path to more money, more responsibility, more, you know, bigger title, whatever you want to call it, you know, more respect in their mind. Okay. The mastery letter is, hey, here are the steps in the company. You come in as a laborer, and this is the skills, the education, the skills and education that you need. And these are the results that you're going to be, you know, judged upon. And then once you master that level, okay, and cap out at the money at that level and all that other stuff, you get to move up to the next rung on that ladder. And there's a clear path. So, you know, be clear on what it takes to make more money in your company. Don't just be one of these guys. And I've been this guy. I mean, listen, I had guys that would come up to me every few months and go, hey, we've been really working hard lately, so we should get a raise. And I had nothing to stand on. I'm like, and I was afraid like they'd all leave if I said no. So then I'm cornered. Okay. I'm held hostage by my people. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about because it happens and you don't even realize it's happening because you're just trying to keep up with the work and everything else. Okay. All right. Next reason I want to talk about why I think you should stop giving your people automatic raises. All right. Guys, at the end of the day, we can only pay so much money for the actual work. I can only pay so much money to put paint on a wall or to drive a nail into a decking floor, or you know what I'm saying. Okay. Listen, if you want more money, you have to add more value. Okay. So whatever the hourly rate is for somebody who's working in the field for you, there has to be a cap at some point. You can't indefinitely stay with me for 10, 15, 20 years and think you're going to get a buck or two raise every year your whole life and do the same damn job. Okay. So what does more value look like? Well, for starters, don't be like Raphael, who was the spark that ignited the forest fire that made me fire 7 employees in 20 minutes. See, because Raphael can't speak, read, or write English, he thought he deserved to get more money and that he didn't have to listen to his foreman and all this other garbage. And he came to me asking for more money. And I said, dude, you're capped out, through a translator. And he threw a hissy fit. And I said, listen, if you want to make more money through the translator, you need to be able to knock on somebody's door and say, hi, Mrs. Jones, I'm Raphael with, you know, blah, blah, blah company. And I'm here to paint your master bedroom. And it's really nice to meet you. Thanks for having us out to your house. And then he can actually read the work order and he could fill out an additional work form and upsell, and he could track hours and report on those hours and train people and things like that. That's what, you know, speaking, reading, and writing English would have done for Raphael. But instead, he argued with me. I fired him. And then another guy came up and was like, you fire him, I'm going too. And I'm like, hasta la pasta, homie, see you later. Well, then he was related to like another guy on the crew. And then the next guy had a choice to make, you know, do I keep my job and piss my wife off because you just fired her brother? Because everyone was related, right? We've all had that experience in our businesses. And so I just, you know, chopped off 65% of my workforce in 20 minutes that day. And that's another story. All right. So more value is you got to speak, read, and write English. And if you can't, then you can't expect any more damn money every year. Okay. It's ridiculous. I mean, if I went to, you know, I don't know, give me a country. I need a country. If I went to Brazil or Portugal, if I went to Portugal, you damn well better know that I would be learning Portuguese at some point if I thought I was ever going to move up the company ladder in any profession, okay? So it's ridiculous. And listen, I have a multinational family. I have, you know, a son from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a son from Haiti and I have a daughter from China. So before you jump my ass and think that I'm like, you know, bashing on people from other countries and stuff like that, bite me. Okay. So, but here's the deal. You want to make more money. You got to be able to communicate in a way that's going to add value. Okay. And that is non-negotiable. Otherwise you're capped out. You're probably capped out at like, you know, barely over minimum wage in my world. All right, so next thing, way that you can add value, learn a new skill that we don't currently have. You know, we used to get asked all the time, you know, hey, do you install crown molding? And we always had to partner up with a trim carpenter in the area. Well, if one of my guys would have come to me and said, hey, you know, I'd like to learn some carpentry. I've kind of tinkered around with it. I could learn how to do some things. You know, is there an apprenticeship program or something I could get into or whatever? I would have found a way to get the guy the training And then he would have been worth more to me. He would have added value. Okay. Another way that your people can add value and be worth more money is the upselling. Can you take advantage of the additional work opportunities that are on every job site? And if you can, you're going to make more money. I mean, listen, I know guys, you know, in my circles here of the companies that we work with, where their foremen are making $30,000 or $40,000 a year in additional work bonuses on top of the 50, 60 grand that they're making for doing big boy work as a foreman. Okay. So it can be done, but the ball has to be in their court. They have to want to get better. Another way that your people can add value, be a great foreman, run efficient jobs that save hours, hit budgets. They're safe. We provide a great experience and get great reviews. If I can look at the data and go, man, every job this guy runs, you know, it's like clockwork, man. That's adding value. That's worth more money. And we'll work out some sort of performance bonus based upon the gross profit of the job. Okay. And then the last way that I just brainstormed here tonight that you can add more value or your people can add more value is when they learn to be a thinker. You know, when all the thinking in the business doesn't have to go through you as the owner, that adds value. You know, you ever had that guy where you show up on the job and he surprises you? He's like, hey, I was thinking about what we were going to have to do tomorrow, and I know rain is in the forecast, so I thought I would do this way, and I would change the sequence of how we normally do things. Hope you're not mad at me. And you want to hug the guy because he used his dang brain. All right. So again, instead of, you know, giving automatic raises to your people, you know, provide your people with opportunities to sink or swim. And when they swim, you better darn well share the pie. Okay. And, you know, cause that's going to be a much bigger piece than the crap $1 a raise you're going to give them a year, or God forbid the cost of living that's 28 cents a year or whatever it is a year. So listen, guys, I want you to make more money. I want your people to make more money. That's what the contractor fight is about. You know, one of the core things here is that we respect ourselves and we get our dignity back, and that the trades are attractive to people. Okay, but one of the reasons that they're not attractive to people is because we don't take time as owners to put processes in place, to put systems in place, to put a mastery ladder and job descriptions, and think things through about what kind of career path we're trying to provide for people. And when we don't do that, people come and go because they don't see a future for themselves. So listen, I believe for the work that we do and the risks that we take, you and your people should make more money, but only when it's earned, only when we put our, you know, we become better thinkers, we add more value to the world and to the companies that we work for, then the money will follow. All right. So here's your assignment. I don't know if I've ever given an assignment like this on the podcast before. I do it in all of our other groups and things like that, but I want to challenge you to create a mastery ladder and picture it, draw it up any way you want. It could be a ladder, it could be a staircase, I don't care. And just think about, okay, first step, somebody comes into my business, what do we call that person who doesn't know shit about our industry? You know, but they got a good attitude. So you go, what are the non-negotiable traits I need in this person? What education do they need? Maybe they got to do some special online training, you know, like, you know, one of the companies I work with, Aquascape, you know, they have their Aquascape Academy. Okay. And it's a great educational platform. Okay. Maybe there's another vendor class that they can go to, or maybe you have your own training program in your business or whatever. Okay. But what is the education that they need? What are the non-negotiable traits you need in them as a human being? What skills do they need to be successful in this position? And then what are the outcomes that you're looking for? And then attach some money. What's the range? You come in, I'm willing to pay this, but this position's really only worth this. So you might have a laborer, and then it might go to an apprentice, and then it might go to, we'll just use painter, go to a painter, and then it might go to an assistant foreman, and then a foreman. That might be your mastery ladder. All right, so that's your assignment, is take the time and do that. Don't half-ass this stuff, because there's a ton of good people out there that want to build stuff, paint stuff, fix stuff, you know, and be in the trades and work with their hands and be creative. But they're not sticking around because we don't have our shit together as owners. All right, so make sure you do your part so that you can call them higher and do their part. Okay, appreciate you guys hanging out with me here today. Travis bringing the guitars, and we'll see you guys later.